Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
Sometimes listeners want to know about triggers.
I'm dealing with the aftermath of my husband's affairs, and he still works the same job that he did when he was acting out. It's a job that allows him to hide his goings-on and one that he stated was the previous trigger for his acting out. The whole 16 and a half years we've been together, he's acted out. In the beginning, what I thought it was just pornography. It ended up being, I found out 2.5 years ago, he had been with multiple prostitutes. I only found out a very small portion of that until about a month ago. How do you cope with all of that when you still have to deal with unavoidable triggers?
Well, of course you would feel traumatized by hearing all that information. And I got to tell you, Stephanie, that's a staggered disclosure. That's finding out little bits and pieces about your husband's behavior throughout a time period, making you feel insecure, unsure, and unsafe. So what we got to do is set up a situation whereby you get with a specialist to do a formal disclosure so you can hear everything at one time in a safe environment.
Today, we are talking about safety and stabilization and support for partners all over the world. And I have two specialists on. I want to welcome Laura and Sherry to the show. They have two programs that they are currently working on to help you develop a community of women where they can offer to you safety and stabilization. So, Sharon, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Carol. It's lovely to be here.
Thank you, Carol.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not often I get to talk to two women about programs that you're so passionate about. I want you, well, let me just ask Laura. Laura, would you tell us a little bit about Safe Haven Mentoring and why you think a mentor is so important when it comes to helping women get through the betrayal?
I would love to. I think over the period of time that I've been doing this, which is not very long, last year I decided after my marriage fell apart that I wanted to be able to give back. And the avenue that presented itself to me was through the Brave Hearts organization. And I took the mentoring program that Michael Leahy offers. And like a coach, it's a little different. A mentor is like a knowledgeable guide. I think that's how I remember him explaining it. It's somebody who has knowledge of the experience that women are going through, and they can travel alongside them because they know the terrain. They know what it means when you have a partner who is betraying them. And we can help them overcome the obstacles and then point out the dangerous parts of the journey. And we can hold out our hands to them to encourage them and support them. Speaking of betrayal trauma, the devastation that's inflicted on my life, you know, I have the expertise because I have the personal experience, and I know what it does to a person's life. I lingered in this a long time before I actually made a recovery, and over the many years that I experienced betrayal, you know, the gaslighting, sadly ended in divorce. You know, I think as a mentor, like a coach, I can help women navigate this journey, which is so painful and can last a long time if they don't get help, the right help they need.
and I can really appreciate that. You know, you don't have to have had the experience of being a partner, but I believe that really helps. It helps you to know where they're at, and it helps them to know that you've been there, and now you're in phase three of what we call in the APSATS model, post-traumatic growth.
Yes.
And so, obviously, sounds like you have a wonderful program of mentoring partners. And Sherry, you also have a not-for-profit that you call Unbound and Free. Can you share a little bit about that program?
Yes, certainly. It's a nonprofit organization. We're designed primarily to help women learn to live a truly free and unbound life. My own journey, I was actually in Eastern Europe as a missionary when everything came tumbling out and, you know, the staggered disclosure after staggered disclosure. And as I was trying to just know what to do with the pieces of my life, I could feel my spirit, my heart, my mind, my body, everything just shutting down and becoming so bound in the shame and the guilt and the lies. So for me, once I came, we were sent back to America, and I also attended the mentorship program that Laura was a part of and then did the certification with the Door of Hope with Donna. I learned so deeply the almost extra layer of what it's like to have to suffer through this in possibly a foreign country or in a ministry where either one, you're totally isolated and you have no help and support, or two, you're very visible and you're just thrown out there because of the support maybe that you've raised to go. I also learned that so many women don't have resources at all at that time in order to be able to step into the coaching or the counseling or the mentoring. So Unbound and Free is a pay it forward type program as of right now. And I have women that have come alongside to contribute to that to help partially pay for a woman's services if she needs it. I'm a firm believer in each woman needs to own a part of that. It's a big part of their growth and their healing. So on a case-by-case basis is how the partnership would be determined.
Well, these are just amazing opportunities for partners all over the world to find out more about. First of all, because I introduced Laura, but I didn't say, Laura, your last name, which is Laura Jenkins. Again, you're the founder of Safe Haven Mentoring, LLC. And then I've got Sherry Payne with me, and she runs Unbound and Free. Now, ladies, you're obviously very, very passionate about what you do. And so I want to ask you, do you know, there are many women who stay with their husbands hoping that their destructive behaviors will change. And yet, in your life, Laura, you realized that that was not going to be the way that you had hoped it would turn out. Can you share how you felt about that?
No, I did stay as long as I could. You know, I'm living in hope that my husband would work his recovery. And it was 8 years. It took 8 years until I realized with his last affair that I couldn't keep living this inauthentic, unhealthy life. And if I didn't do something, I would shrivel up and die because of his continued infidelity, his lack of love and care for me. And, you know, I'd heard many years ago that you have to detach from your husband's healing journey and let him do his work and I would do mine. But I never really felt safe. You know, I never felt safe during that time. And it was probably the most frightening thing for me when I took the steps to leave the marriage. I'd always told my ex-husband, you know, I will never divorce you. I don't believe in divorce. I think God can work a miracle. He'll heal this marriage. And we could keep moving forward. But it didn't work that way. I realized that if I continued like this, I wasn't going to be able to live authentically to who I am, to the person that God made me. And I was continually triggered and traumatized by this behavior, and I knew that I couldn't continue. And it takes a huge effort to face the reality, because it's so easy to live in denial, isn't it? It's so easy to continue to say, oh, it'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the same. And the discoveries continue and the gaslighting continues. And it comes to a point that if you don't take that step,
well,
you'll be useless. You know, you'll be useless to anybody, to your children, to your friends, to your family, if you're just half the person that you are meant to be.
Well, absolutely. And you said that it's easy to be in denial. And we all know that sex addicts maintain denial as their first defense to keep them stuck in the sexually addictive cycle. And yet hope is what so many partners feel, and they hope and they hope and they hope, and it keeps them in a state of denial, because at some point they have to look and say, is he working a strong program, first and foremost?
Yeah.
And then, is he relating to me in a way that shows me that he understands the damage that he's caused?
Yeah.
And then thirdly, does he walk his talk, right?
Yeah.
And I know that both of you women really understand betrayal trauma and all the abuse and grief that can occur from that. So I'm going to ask you, Sherry, you know, your not-for-profit is really a way of helping women to identify their strengths and the resources around them and within them so that they can get healthier and healthier and healthier. And so how do you help them break free from that firestorm that they're feeling when it doesn't look like it's getting better?
That's a great question. I know for me, it ended up being that I had to have a platform of safety. I had to have a platform and a safe place with people that I could go to and share exactly what was happening.
Uh-huh.
In my home, there was, as you both have shared, there's that level of denial. On my husband's part, diminishing denial. If only I would stop dwelling on it and thinking about it, you know, all the responsibility kept coming back on me. And then, you know, to complicate that was the messages that came from the mission organization also of just be quiet, don't talk about it, forgive, move on. And nothing was changing. So I needed a level of safety. I needed someone that would help me be courageous in continuing to own my voice of speaking out and sharing that this is what's going on, this is what's happening. So I believe I want to be able to offer that same thing to women when they're caught in that place of who do I go to? No one's going to understand. There's that thing that Laura had shared about a mentor where you've lived it and you've walked it. And there is something about sitting down and doing the eyeball to eyeball with someone and know that they know, exactly what you're going through. I'm hoping that through Unbound and Free that we can do this. The programs that, you know, I would also be offering as far as one-on-one or group counseling, all of that comes back through Safe Haven Mentoring. So everything would be going through there. And that was the platform that's part of Laura's passion, to be able to provide that for someone like me who didn't have the time, the resources, the energy to do that part of it. So she's kind of already created that and allowed and invited me in to be able to participate with that.
Well, that makes all the sense in the world. And, you know, it makes it especially difficult when you're part of a loving, caring, giving organization and you're doing missionary work and then you're experiencing sex addiction and partner betrayal and then you're getting the wrong advice. I mean, they don't know what they don't know, and so they think they're giving you the best advice, but really telling somebody to forgive and to offer grace, and when there's not safety and there's not somebody walking his talk, is actually more harmful and a second betrayal. And so you have, no pun intended, made it your mission to especially help those women in religious places and missionary work know that they can come to you and you will understand what they've been through.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Both of you ladies, I mean, it's no accident you met each other, right?
No, it's not.
And you're really supporting each other and you're supporting partners. And so I'm going to ask you, Laura, when you're speaking with women who mm-hmm. want to be mentored by you, what are some of the things that you want to convey to them to help them find that hope and healing that we were talking about, but not let them stay in denial, which sometimes hope keeps them from really looking at what's happening in their world?
Yeah, I think that message of hope is so important, and we all want to have the hope of wellness and goodness in our lives. This is true if we're struggling in our relationship. If the relationship breaks down, we always want to have hope. But for me, I'm going to relate my experience of it. I heard the message of hope right at the beginning when I first discovered. And it landed in such a dark place in my life that it was almost like, okay, somebody's telling me that there's hope for the future, but I can't take that in. I can't take that message of hope in because I'm in such a dark place. When you're traumatized, you can't even see beyond the fog of your experience, your lived experience. And so I felt like that message was a seed that was planted in my heart. I really did. And it grew and it developed because there were nurturing people who came alongside me and who kept reiterating that message, who kept encouraging me not to despair.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Marsha Means once speaking those words of hope and encouragement. And she would say them, and I was so in such a dark place, and I would just say, I just don't believe you. I just don't believe that there is going to be any hope. And, you know, I look back now, and you can't deny that you need time. This is such a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You can't just give hope to a person and then walk away.
Right, or wish it away. It just doesn't work.
You have to be in a relationship. You have to create a relationship for women to let that seed of hope mature and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the message as a mentor that I want to have for women who come to me, is that I want to continue to give them that message of hope and also encourage them to be in groups.
Oh,
to
I
not
know.
Remain alone. You know, I was alone for 4 or 5 years before I really started recovery. And nothing happens when you're alone. You just sit there with your grief.
Right.
And you sit there in the pain. And when you can't share with people just how hurt you are, it needs light. Like a seed needs light. It needs nourishing. And that seed of hope needs somebody like Sherry and I as mentors to be there for these women. You know, to weekly pour into them encouragement and hope.
Well, I absolutely agree with you. And you mentioned Marsha Means, and for our listening audience, you know, we're an AFSAS radio podcast. And the president, the very first president of AFSAS was Barbara Steffens. And Barbara and Marsha Means wrote the book, Your Sexually Addicted Spouse. And it really was probably the second non-Christian book on partner betrayal, the first being written by our second AFSAS president, Affair of the Mind, and that was Lori Hall. Now, I trust and believe that you really understand mentorship, and one of the reasons I do is because you've also been trained by another AFSAS person, Donna Meredith Dixon. And Donna runs Doors of Hope. And I'm telling my listening audience that because when a partner has gone through their healing and they're on the other side and they have post-traumatic growth and they know they're strong enough to want to give back, Donna runs this amazing program for lay people, lay women, who want to help other women, and it's called Doors of Hope, and you do that in the church, and it's just an amazing program. And did you both work with Donna?
Or yes.
Both of you did.
Both of us, yes.
And did you both take the training together?
We certainly did, yes.
And then you both took the training for APSAP together?
I've taken it. I think Sherry is probably going to be doing that soon.
Oh, good.
The next class.
Yes. Excellent. So you may be doing our November training.
Yes.
Okay. Because you've been trained by some of the best, and to have that life experience and then to get the proper training. You know, for me, I'm not a partner, and I thought I understood partners. And when I had been with a partner and her husband and really got her to the right resources and empathized with her, she went back and told my colleague, Carol just doesn't get me. And I did get her, but the important thing is she didn't think I got her, and that's when I said, I need more training. And so I went to APSATS, which I think is the premier trainer in the world. And that's one of the reasons we do this show, is we want our listening audience to know what kind of community we have to offer. And that's why we're talking with Sherry and Laura today about their mentorship programs, because these women know what it's like to be alone, and they know what it's like to be isolated. I believe Laura called it in the dark. And we really want you to not do it alone. And this would be an excellent place to start. So I'm going to ask Sherry. Sherry, how can people get a hold of you if they want to find out more about Unbound and Free, your not-for-profit that helps women in general, but especially missionary women and religious women to break free from their own pain because of partner betrayal?
My Unbound and Free development is still in the beginning stages, so we are finalizing the website. There will be newsletters and blog posts that are going to be sent out to women. There will also be some of that attached with Safe Haven mentoring. So right now, if someone were to want to contact me, the best way to get me today would be through Safe Haven mentoring. In the very near future, when we have launched Unbound and Free, there will be also contacts through that, but we are still in the beginning of launching that.
Wonderful. Okay, so one more time. The email address would be?
Sherry@safehavenmentoring.com.
And that is S-H-E-R-R-I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, Laura, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, they can also reach out to me by email at laura@safehavenmentoring.com. And they can also go to the website, www.safehavenmentoring.com. And we have a website set up that tells a little bit more about each of us, and also allows you to go and book sessions with us. We also are hoping to start a group this fall, studying Dr. Henry Cloud's Changes That Heal, which is a marvelous book to help women find healing, and also investigates a lot of the things that go into that. It's not just let's go out and heal. There are just a lot of stages involved in that. So hopefully we'll have a group starting this fall. And, just come and visit us on the website.
Excellent. And let them know that you heard these women on Betrayal Recovery Radio. Now, I got to ask you, since you're both in post-traumatic growth or you wouldn't be here with me today, could you each share one experience that you felt contributed to making some of the most important decisions in your life and led you to where you are today? Mm-hmm. And I'll ask Laura first.
Okay. This was like a critical statement made to me by somebody who is very, very dear to me. And it was as I was processing whether or not to file for divorce.
Mm.
And she said to me, Laura, you have choices. You have choices. And, you know, as a stay-at-home mom, as a very traditional wife, I never really thought I had choices.
Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like you had choices.
It didn't feel like, and that was such a critical, crucial thing, and I ran with it.
Mm.
I ran with that statement. I did have choices, and I didn't have to stay stuck.
Oh, beautiful. And how about you, Sherry?
A pivotal moment was I was still in Europe, and I was doing counseling via Zoom with a counselor here in America who, she was not as such trained, and she recognized that, but as I was sharing, she asked if she could reach out to someone who was FSET trained.
Uh-huh.
And so she came back to me a couple days later and we talked. And at that time, I was still having to determine, am I going to continue sharing what really is going on? Am I going to, you know, stuff it? Am I going to quiet it? Am I just going to reach into hope that it's going to get better, even though nothing is appearing that way? And I remember she so tenderly looked at me and she said, and Donna talks about this so much in her class, but she said, Sherry, she said, you want to heal. She said, I can tell that you want to heal. But she said, healing is straight through. It's not around and it's not over. It's going straight through it. So I want to help you find a group of women, an FSET therapist, someone who can come along beside you and help you walk through it. And it was very empowering for me. It was very real. I needed somebody to be real and tell me it was going to be hard. I could handle hard. I just needed to heal.
And that was your pivotal moment when you found the right people that understood and supported you. And from there, you have healed, and now you're wanting to give back. And that's what post-traumatic growth is all about. So I got to ask you, as we begin to wrap up the show, I want to know from each one of you, I always ask for some practicality. What techniques or tips do you both have for partners who are overwhelmed by their triggers and their fears and the decisions that they may have made or they may need to make? And I'll ask Laura first.
Okay. Well, I have to be honest, in the beginning, there wasn't too much that would help me.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think because I was in shutdown mode, and it was only when I was able to find some good guidance, and it's actually through an upset therapist that I found this, and it was probably 4 to 5 years into my journey. And that, I think the most important thing, and the one that was the most accessible, and that seems even crazy to say that it would work, was the breathing techniques. The ability to center, to stop, to take a deep breath. And I would also use it as prayer, because I'm a woman of faith, and it would help me to meditate, to pray with the breath. So it would be in and out. And that was so basic. It seemed so easy. And it really helped to bring down this chaos that was my brain, the triggers, you know, the gaslight. Dealing with all that is being able to focus my attention completely to the breath. Just seemed like an amazing technique and so simple, and yet it has huge effects on me. And then, you know, yoga, a lot of the physical things that went with the breath, it really was being in tune with my body, is to exercise, to do yoga, and just having compassion for myself,
you know,
as I'm breathing.
That is so interesting you say that, because we are always telling partners that in addition to finding support, they need to figure out what they have to work with that promotes self-compassion and self-care. And that breathing is one of the best exercises for the world to decrease the chaos, as you called it, or the anxiety that something like partner betrayal puts you in a state of 24/7.
Yeah.
So, Sherry, what about you? What techniques and tips would you offer to our partners?
I know that breathing for me was also foundational. And when I was working with my therapist, we didn't always do like a specific in and out technique, but she just had a beautiful ability of just lowering the energy in the room and just breathing, bringing both of us back down with her calmness. And she would say to me, she would say, Sherry, breathe, you know, just breathe. And then she would say, you don't have to make every single right decision. I would say to most women, I was so caught in, is this the right thing to do? Is this the right thing to do? Is this the right thing to do? And she could so beautifully, with her calmness, say, what if? What if one wrong decision was made? What's going to happen? And she kept telling me to journal. You know, she said, journal when you've made those decisions, when you shared when you shouldn't have, when you shared when you needed to, when you made a rash decision, when you did it, when you took it before God, when you did it. So journaling, breathing helped me tremendously to see truth. Because when you're in that gaslighting mindset, so often you cannot identify what is really real and what is true around you. But when you're writing that out continually, the truth just seems to come right up out of the pages. So journaling was so important. And also, I got out and I was in nature and I walked, and I would say that to women too. Give yourself the freedom, build in the time to walk, mm-hmm. build in the time to journal, learn to take care of yourself.
Mm, that's very good advice, ladies, absolutely. And again, we're reminding our listening audience that a lot of your power comes from within. And so you need to figure out, does walking on a beautiful sunny day help me to feel like I'm connected to God or to nature or to my own inner power? And certainly breathing does too. When I talk to men, sex addicts, about the 10 recovery tools, tool number 7 is the only tool that includes 3, and they are prayer, meditation, and journaling. So you just nailed it for the partners, because it is so very important.
Carol, can I add one more thing?
Yes, you
can. I also thought, is the thought of being curious about why we react to certain things, especially to triggers. As when we have a trigger, is to be curious, what is causing this? Trying to slow down with the breath and then journal it. You know, that's like Sherry, I was a big, huge journaler, still am, is the curiosity of why certain things happen to us, to our lives, in our lives, to us, to other people. And the journaling, I think, is part of that, where you can explore, you know, why this gaslighting, what is causing it? Why am I believing it? You know, what is the trigger? Do I need to stay away from the situation? You know, is to actually be curious about the life beyond what we experience, and to understand that and journal it.
That's very good advice. And what I tell women is, obviously there are 3 types of triggers. The external, and those are caused by anniversary dates or certain places or events. And then there's the internal, and those may be more unconscious. It may be the sound of a phone going off that reminded you of when you first discovered, or it may be a yellow room, because that's the color of the room you were in when you first found out. But there's also those sensory experiences, you know, using our 5 senses. What do you taste? What do you see? What do you feel? What do you smell? And what do you hear? And oftentimes those sensory experiences can also set off triggers. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, women do know why they're triggered. And that time and space to really examine that with journaling is so very important. But more than that, that curiosity you were talking about reminded me that in many ways, triggers can feel out of control, but they're actually gifts. They're gifts to remind us that we need to go within ourselves and just kind of be at peace with what's happening, so that the triggers don't overtake us. They're really a reminder of something that we can move away from when we're ready.
Yeah.
So ladies, thank you so much. And again, I am reminding my listening audience that I am talking with Laura Jenkins, and she's the founder of Safe Haven Mentoring. And I'm talking with Sherry Payne, and she has the program Unbound and Free. They gave you their email addresses. You can always contact me at Carol, carolthecoach.com, if you don't have a pen right there. We'll put their websites in the notes. And remember that Sherry's is probably not going to be up until the fall. But if you're like me, I listen to interesting podcasts over and over again. So revisit us today. And ladies, thank you so much for your passion, for the purpose, and for your willingness to be available to healing. I really, really thank you.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you so much.
All right. You make it a good day, and we will talk soon.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that's the end of the show, and we are really looking forward to hearing that you have been contacting some of these resources to make that contact that's so important when you're feeling isolated and alone. As you can tell, the people that we talk to really understand and there to help. And go to appsats.org because you'll find many of these people on that directory, and then you'll know you've been with somebody who's been trained. Well, as I say at the end of every show, there will only be one of you at all times. I want you fearlessly to have the courage to be yourself. Make it a good week, and we'll see you next week for more Betrayed Partner Radio here at atsats.org.